Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Paddle Pod, your weekly podcast covering professional paddle, presented by Hugo and Gons. We're on to episode 68, and as always, joined by my co-host Hugo here today. Hugo, it's great to have you on. How are you doing?
Well, Gons, it's a pleasure to be here as always, and you know very well how I'm doing. Not doing great, because just so our fans know, Gons and I have just started playing federated matches in Madrid, federated paddle matches. So we joined our first tournament as a pair, well, a Federación Madrileña tournament. So, you know, the Madrid Paddle Federation organized this specific tournament and obviously a lot of them throughout the year. And we played our first one today. We looked at the draw prior to joining and we played the winners of the previous tournament. So not ideal for our first experience in one of these tournaments. And I mean, I wouldn't say we got spanked, but we did lose pretty comfortably 6-3, 6-2. Now, we did have our chances in the first set, a lot of golden points throughout the match. But yeah, they were just a bit too good, weren't they, Gons?
Yeah, especially in that second set, I think they showed kind of their real level in the first set. We had a couple of chances, which we didn't take. But I think we both know that probably they're kind of a level above and they're going to be soon playing kind of the different categories that there are when you join these tournaments, so probably in the first, second division. And I mean, they were tennis teachers. I mean, they are tennis teachers, like that's their profession. I think one of them kind of went to the US and tried being pro. So, I mean, they clearly have the skills. But yeah, we ate a bit of humble pie, as they say today, because you sometimes walk up to these things and you're like, yeah, I play really well, I do good. And then I think this kind of brought us back down to earth.
100%. And I think it just shows how important it is to every now and then get a reality check and play with people who are better than you, just so that you don't always think, even if you win three matches in a row, unless you're playing against really challenging opposition or players that are much better than you, you're not that good. So we just have to, it's good to, yeah, to get a bit of a reality check every now and then. And yeah, but looking forward to building and growing on this. I think these are the matches where you learn the most.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's just a question of maybe not feeding them as many lobs, given that they're tennis teachers. And, I mean, the amount of portres that they generate in our match, particularly the lefty who played on the forehand side of the court, he was probably just thinking, yeah, keep feeding me those bloody sweets, Hugo.
Yeah. But they were decent lobs. But anyway, it's also good, like serves as a good North Star to see like what you need to improve, what you do need to get better at. So yeah, I mean, these are the kind of matches, as you say, where you kind of learn the most. But maybe moving on and talking about professional paddle, because I'm sure that people are not here to listen to us ramble on about our sad matches and tournament fails. But huge news this week ahead of the Paris Major, because the World Cup is also very, very near to us. If I'm not mistaken, starts in early November. And we've obviously got the French Major this week, but big news in terms of the squads. So both the Argentinian squad and the Spanish squad were released. Argentinian squad was released first. And both of the squads actually had their share of controversy and drama. Maybe let's start with the Argentinian squad, just go about it in chronological order, given that that was the first squad that was released. Probably the biggest news about the Argentinian squad is Fernando Belasteguin was left out. So he's no longer going to be part of the Argentinian national team and he won't go to the World Cup. I think the first time in around 20 years, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, Hugo, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, big news, but I've got to be honest, I totally agree with the squad, 100%. Now, just to summarize who the players going are, it's Agustín Tapia, Fede Chingoto, Franco Stupasuk, Martín Dineno. Obviously, those four were always going to go. No one had any doubts. But the other four are Sanyo Gutiérrez, Alex Chozas, Leo Ausburger, and Tino Livac. Now, let's keep in mind that it's basically been made public that Juan Tello would have been part of the squad, but he's going to be a father for, I think it might be the third time. I think he's already got a few kids. And that's going to coincide with the World Cup. So he's decided to bow out and stay out. So to keep take well, keeping in mind that Tello was not part of the selections or not part of the options for the Argentinian coaches, I totally agree with the squad. Bella is not at the level currently to compete against the top players. And when you think about a final against Spain and Spain's pairs, which is obviously going to be the most likely final, Argentina vs Spain, I don't see Bella being able to challenge any of Spain's top eight players and the players that they've taken, to be honest. So I think it's definitely the right decision. And thinking about the other players that have been left out, Maxi Sanchez, again, not at the level of these other players that I've already mentioned. Lucho Cabra, I think he's been to previous World Cups. He's also been left out. Again, I don't think he's been at the level. So, yeah, I mean, I've got to be honest, I totally agree. I mean, what I'm really excited to see is how they're going to shape up the pairs. But yeah, Gons, maybe your initial thoughts on the squad itself prior to moving on to the pairs, maybe?
Yeah, so on Bella, I completely agree with the selection. I mean, when you look at the season that he's had, it's just not justifiable. I also believe that the players that kind of were taken, where you would sort of argue like, okay, could Bella go instead of, for example, Dino? Ausburger, because he would be probably on the left. I mean, Ausburger has hit like really good form as of late. I mean, he's gone really deep in tournaments with Chozas. And you obviously knew that the kind of first four spots were taken. I don't think there's any debate in terms of who's out of Tapia, Chingo, and Los Superpibes, or Martin and Franco, because they're obviously maybe not Superpibes anymore. But I mean, it was quite clear that they were going to go. And then in terms of the other spots, I mean, Ausburger, for sure, he's the one. And even Chozas as well, he's hit peak form. I mean, and obviously Chozas can even play on the right as he has been doing as of late, and he's been playing really well. We've kind of commented on that as well. So in a way, yeah, Bella, he's obviously a legend, and I guess it's going to be weird and sad not to see him, but I completely agree with it. And I think it's a good message that this sends to the squad as well, in terms of, you know, you're all here because you deserve it. And for future generations as well, it's good to, I feel, for chemistry and for bonding, to, you know, send a message like, hey, you're here because you deserve it, not because of your name and what you've done in the past.
100%. Totally agree. And just a quick one, would you have taken Juan Tello?
It's actually a really interesting question. I probably would have, to be honest. Just because you probably know that I'm a bit of a sucker for Tello. I think it's also interesting. Obviously, the championships are in Dubai. Dubai's got amazing weather all year round. We also do know that it does change. So in the morning, the courts can be incredibly fast. So I think having someone like Tello could be an advantage. Maybe during the night, you wouldn't necessarily play him because the ball is probably not going to be as bouncy and the smash is not going to be as effective. But I probably would have taken him. I mean, as of kind of late in the last tournament, for example, reaching the quarterfinals with Bella. So I think he could have done good. And he obviously does have the experience as well of playing in these sort of like World Cups and stuff. So maybe that could be handy. But I mean, given that he's dropped out and how the other players have been playing, I think it's completely fair. And I'm not like, let's say I'm just not against the selections that they've gone. So for example, bringing someone like Ausburger or even Chozas.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I would have actually, if Tello would have been available, I think I would have taken him instead of Liback, probably, because what I would have done is Alex Chozas and Leos Burger have been playing together, obviously, as a pair recently. They've been doing really well, and Chozas has been playing on the forehand side of the court. And I almost think he's almost more of an X factor when he plays on the forehand side of the court, because playing on the forehand, being so aggressive and having such a good biwara and a smash is something very different and very unique. So, yeah, I would have actually probably left Liback at home. And as I said, and you would have had, beyond the top four players that we've already stated were obvious, you could have had Sanyo and Tello play together, which I'd love to see. I think they'd do really well. And also Chozas and Ausburger, or you could mix them up and have a young gun with a slightly older player. So, yeah, I would have taken Tello probably, but I totally agree with squad selection given the conditions and the available players.
Exactly. And now maybe moving on to the Spanish squad. So composed of the usual suspects. I mean, I think there's no surprise here. Ale Galán, Arturo Coelho, Paquito Navarro, Juan Lebrón, obviously. And then you've also got Coqui and John and Alex Ruiz as well, if I'm not mistaken. Am I missing
Yeah, so
anyone
Mike
else?
Yanguas is the
And
80th
Mike
player.
Yanguas, exactly. Yeah, and Mike Yanguas on the right. So one of the names there, probably not one you would have expected to hear about, Hugo. Maybe our audience as well knows who we're talking about, given that we were not very fond of like, well, we are fond of him as a person, but he hasn't been playing that well recently. And that is probably Alex Ruiz. Hugo, what are your thoughts about essentially Alex Ruiz being in the squad and other players such as, well, Garrido could have gone if you put LeBron on the right, for example, someone like Cardona, who's been playing really well recently. So yeah, Hugo, I'll let you let us know.
I just don't understand it. I don't know what the decision making is behind it. He has been playing very badly. I mean, he hasn't been playing to his level. He hasn't been playing badly. Obviously, he's still one of the best 30 players in the world, probably, but he's not been performing to his level. He's had issues with injuries, and that's probably been one of the reasons why. But he's been healthy for a while now, and he's still not performing. He's constantly changing partners, which obviously means that he's not found kind of the right ecosystem to shine in. And also, he was taken to the previous World Cup and he played the decisive point alongside Momo González, who he played with previously against Sanyo Mbela, and they lost it. So I just don't think he should have had the chance, being honest. And I think, being totally honest, the player that they should have taken instead of Alex Ruiz is Javi Garrido. He has had a very good season up until his split from Yanguas. But still, when you watch him play, he's been performing. He hasn't been playing as well the last couple of months since splitting with Yanguas, but he's still consistently in the Last 16 quarterfinals. He's doing as expected, basically, apart from a slip up here and there. And I just think that when you look at the pairs that Spain are going to form to play the decisive points. And even though you take eight players, only six players are really going to play because you play three matches. You could move LeBron to the forehand side, which I think makes total sense. And what that would mean is you would have the standard two pairs who have always played the first 2 points in previous World Cups, which is Paquito and LeBron and Coelho and Galán. Or even you could mix them around. You could go LeBron, Galán, and Paquito Coelho. And then the third pair would be Yanguas Garrido, who were literally the fourth slash fifth seeded pair until about what, a couple of months ago? Months ago, sorry. So I just don't understand it. I don't know what's gone on in the Spanish national team coaches' heads, but I really don't agree with it. What do you think, Hans?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't disagree as well anymore with the selection and of Alex Ruiz. Also, just thinking about it, like I can understand the coach getting LeBron to be on the left because essentially the choice that they've made is LeBron on the left. So that means we need to take someone else on the right, and that someone else is Alex Ruiz. But even understanding that, I think that there are other players on the right who I would have taken over Alex Ruiz, to be honest. So, I mean, Cardona, I think, has been better recently. Could even argue someone like Edu Alonso, who I think has also been playing really well and better form than Alex Ruiz. So I just don't understand it. Personally, for me, I would have done as you said. I would have moved LeBron on the right and Garrido, I would have selected him to play on the left. I mean, he's a top 10 player right now. It's kind of unbelievable. I don't know how the coach is kind of given that or call Garrido and say like, yeah, by the way, I'm sorry, but you haven't made the squad. Like, I mean, it's absolutely insane. But it's, yeah, as you said, I mean, Alex is not in form. He's already had the opportunity to be in a World Cup. He lost it with Momo, who's arguably one of the best partnerships that he's had. So it does feel like it's really strange. I mean, the only thing I can think of is experience, but it's not like he's had incredible experience. So we'll see what that means. I'm kind of intrigued as well to see the different pairs. and who's going to be even, I'm not really sure, like who do you think is going to be playing?
Well, that's my issue, right? Because I'm playing devil's advocate. I do understand them taking LeBron on the backhand, at least to a certain extent, because it means that all three of your pairs that play the decisive points will have, one of them will have LeBron on the backhand, one of them will have Galán, and one of them will have Paquito. So realistically, those pairs should be beating all teams. And when you look at Argentina, their top two pairs, great, fantastic, but Chotas in as a third pair, or Sanyo or whatever it is, Livaka, we don't know. I think they would really struggle to beat, maybe LeBron might, it might be him playing the third point, or even if it's Paquito, I think they would struggle with the pressure and dealing with a top player like that. It is true that when you think about the forehand players that they're going to play with, I mean, Goya will definitely be one of the top three. Yanguas will be one of those top three as well. I don't know who the third man will be, but being honest, I don't think it should be Ruiz. I mean, I'd rather see John playing on the forehand. I'd rather see Coqui, to be honest, and he's not even a forehand player. So I think I'm a bit worried. I would not want to see Alex Ruiz play the third point, the decisive point in a World Cup final against Argentina. I just don't think he's at the level currently. So what the pair, I mean, it's hard to predict now what the pairs will be, but I think LeBron should really try to play with someone who's quite calm and quite consistent, because he's obviously, a bit chaotic, bit hot-headed. And I mean, that's got him to where he is, but maybe even Goya, maybe that would be a great partnership. I think Galán's previously played with John Sanz, so maybe that could work. And then maybe Yanguas Paquito. That would probably be my bet right now. But I'm worried that if they're taking Alex Ruiz, it might mean that they really trust him and they want him to play. And if that's the case, it'll most likely be LeBron, Alex Ruiz, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Or it won't be Yanguas LeBron, I don't think. What are your thoughts, Gons?
Yeah, probably not Yanguas Leverón, but I think the Spain lineup is going to be, it's really intriguing because you gave a couple of options there, which I think kind of makes sense. But just to throw it maybe back to you really quick, would you see Ale Galán and John Sanz at playing the first point against Tapia and Chingo? Isn't that, would you, could you see that be risky? I mean, you kind of, I'd say you kind of want to throw in your freaking artillery out there and you want to have Galán and Coelho playing the first point. So, I mean, just to say that it's really intriguing, as you say, because like you have like, you could really have a number of combinations which kind of all make sense, but ultimately, I do agree with you. I think you would want to pair LeBron with someone who could probably give him a bit more stability rather than with someone that's as crazy as he is, or as offensive as he is. I mean, and to be honest, this is why I probably would have brought LeBron on the right side, because I think he would have made such good pairs with every other left-sided or backhand
100%.
player. So it just feels kind of weird now that you've thrown in the mix LeBron on the left or as a backhand player, because then on the right, I mean, the options are just like they're all super offensive if you think about it. I mean, so many lefties, and this is an interesting variable that Argentina, for example, have no lefties, and Spain basically except Yanguas, so they're all lefties. So really offensive pairs, and it's just going to be quite interesting matchups.
No, definitely. I mean, it's a good point that you make. It just does seem to be more natural to place LeBron on the forehand, because I think, well, he's clearly worked with Galán. He's worked with Paquito, maybe not this season, but they've worked and they won the first point last year
Yeah, they
against
played
Fede and
national
Tapia.
team, they
So
played together.
exactly. So you can just see it and make sense. But I don't know, maybe given that they did lose last year. Because what was it last year, by the way? Was it last year or is it
No, it was,
2022?
yeah, 2022.
2022, that's what I thought. Yeah, sorry. So they lost the final 2 years ago, going Goyo and Galan as the second pair, I think, and then Paquito LeBron as the first pair. So maybe they've just thought, let's change things up. Maybe that's their reasoning. I mean, I can understand it. maybe they just want to go a little bit more leveled across all three pairs rather than getting all guns out in the top two and having a third pair, which is decent, but it could potentially be more balanced. I don't know. It's going to be a great, great final. The thing is we very rarely can watch top international matches in paddle because there's only two top teams, obviously Argentina and Spain, dominate big time. And we're going to have the chance to see Chingoto at his current god mode with Agustin Dabia, potentially against Coelho and Galan. So literally switching pairs and going top two pairs against each other, which is epic. We could also see Dineno, well, Superpibes back. I think they'll most likely be playing together again because they won their point two years ago, against, well, it won't be Paquito Lebrón clearly this time. And maybe that's what the coaches have thought. Maybe they don't trust Paquito Lebrón with the pressure and how they've handled the pressure this time round. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I mean, yeah, so maybe Gons, should we just go and choose our three pairs for Spain? If you had to go out and play the World Cup final tomorrow against Argentina, who are you picking? I'm not going to ask you for the Argentina players. They can have it their own way. We're not Argentinian. But what will your three pairs be?
So I think
the squad, given the squad, the
yeah,
squad.
Of course. Yeah. So I would go with Galan and Coelho. They've played before. And I mean, they're the best players in the world right now. I mean, I would put all my artillery out there. And then I'd go with probably Paquito and Yanguas. I think that they could suit each other quite well. And then lastly, I guess Lebrón and John Chan, probably.
Okay. So, I mean, I think I understand it being a little bit more balanced than what happened a couple of years ago. Because even though, you know, the third pair was Alex Ruiz Momo, clearly a level below Lebrón and John Chan, at least in my eyes. But, I mean, the Superpibes beat Galán and Coelho last year. Could it happen again? I think so. I would actually go for something slightly different.
Yeah, let me just quickly go. I mean, Coelho's on a different level that he was 2 years ago, to be honest. So,
that is true.
If Los Superpibes were to beat Coelho and Galán this year, I mean, then fair play, they're probably going to win the whole thing.
That's true. That's true. That's a way to see it. I would actually go slightly different. I would go pair one would be Paquito Yanguas. No, that doesn't make any sense. To be honest, I don't even know where to go. It's just absolute chaos. But yeah, I'd probably go for what I said before, which was you have Lebrón and Coelho playing together. The thing is, I don't know in what phase. Maybe pair two, and pair one would be Galán, John Sanz, and then you leave Paquito Yanguas as the third pair. That'll probably be my matchup.
Yeah, it's not bad either. And then maybe a final question, because I thought this was quite interesting. I heard, I watched the latest episode in 2010, and they also talked about the World Cup, mainly focusing on the Argentinian squad, obviously, given that they're all Argentinians and the whole Bella news that broke out. But one of the things that they talked about was, would you leave one of your best pairs to a potential third point, or do you think that's a waste and would you just go heavy for the first two? What do you think, Hugo?
It's really interesting. And that's something that I did want to throw in this episode. So I'm glad you brought it up because you could actually say, I put one of my best pairs in the first two games and the other best pair in the last game, because hopefully you win one of the two and then the third game should be more comfortable. But I wouldn't, to be honest, because even if you... The thing is say you've got two top pairs, and I think it's the case for Argentina. Obviously, they've got the Superpibes and Fede Andabia.
Clear top two pairs above the other players.
Exactly. And most likely, those will be the pairs because the Superpibes have played together before and they won 2 years ago. So it just makes sense. I doubt it'll be Dineno Tapia and Fede Estupa. So if that's the case, Fede and Tapia can win their game, but they can also lose against Galán Coelho or Paquito Coelho, whoever it is. So if they lose that, And then you have the Shawbeda BBS waiting for a potential third game. They might go out and lose 2-0. And how stupid would you look as a coach if you leave your best players not playing the final? So I just think it's too risky in my eyes.
Yeah, I mean, to me, one of the examples they used, which I think highlights it perfectly, is like, can you imagine, say you lose 2-0, can you imagine Tapia with his full kit, not even a sweat, and just telling him, sorry, we just thought that we were going to play you in the third point, and he goes home without even playing in the final. I mean, the coach would be fired instantly. So I think it's absolutely ridiculous. And then I think there's a mental element of it, which is kind of like, you're basically saying that you don't think you're going to win, or you're kind of leaving a scenario open for you not to win in two sets, which I think personally, it's not the approach you should take. I mean, you go into a final, especially if you're a coach, because it's kind of like the players will be looking at the coach, and it's kind of like, what, you don't think, are you just risk managing? You don't think that we can win this in two? And it's kind of like, if you're the coach, you have to motivate your players. You can't just have that kind of loser. I see it as a bit of a loser mentality. I think you have to go straight for it. You put all your best players out there, especially in the case of Argentina, that they've clearly got two top pairs and the rest of the players are below the level of the top two pairs. So yeah, I mean, I would definitely be top heavy. And then if you get to the third point, you get to the third point, but you don't want to be in a situation where you essentially lost 2-0 because you didn't play your best players.
Yeah, 100%. And to be honest, I think if Argentina ever were to consider that, and Chingo Tapia and Stupadineno were the pairs, I think Stupadineno would be the ones left at the final, because you cannot leave the two of the top four players in the world out of the first 2 points. That's impossible. Now, Stupadineno, I mean, I've got to be honest, I just don't see it, but I would see it slightly better, but still not what I think.
Yeah, maybe just potentially because I think the final starts like quite early, so something like 3 p.m. because you've got three straight matches. As I mentioned before, you're playing in Dubai, maybe it's really hot at that time, and you're like, you know what, let me just chance it. I'm going to put Ausburger and Libak out there, or Ausburger and someone else who can, and Sanyo. So you just try and see if Ausburger can win the match, essentially smashing everything. But I mean, yeah, definitely not recommendable, and I wouldn't do it myself. But maybe we should move on, and because the draws have come out, we obviously do want to talk a bit about the Paris Major that officially has started, because you've got the qualifying draws as well being played right now. But the main draw is out, and finally, We prayed to the gods and they've answered after our last episode. We do get to see a potential semi-final of Leuron Andineno against Chingo Tongalan. And then on the other side, you've got Arturo Coello and Agustin Tapia against potentially Stupa and Yanguas. Hugo, how happy are you?
Absolutely buzzing. What I am surprised about is the guys that beat us today not being in the draw. Because to be honest, I think they could actually challenge some of those pairs. No, I'm joking. But to be honest, they probably aren't far off. At least their smashing abilities. but yeah, I'm absolutely buzzing. I think I'd be gutted if we don't watch that match, because I just think it would be so entertaining. And I think LeBron and Dineno will probably have more pressure because they kind of want to prove that they're in that league and that they can challenge the top two pairs. So they probably have a bit more pressure, and particularly given that they lost that match against Ausburger Tozas. Because I think if they just made the semi-final since they stuck together as a pair and just lost against Goyan Dabia, they'd be like, hey, this is, well, even if we lose against Singalan, we've had no slip-ups. But given that they've had a slip-up, if they now lose to both Goyan Dabia a couple of times and also to Chingalan, they'll start getting a little bit nervous. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm very excited to watch it. And as you said, I think it's going to be a much better matchup than what Dineno and LeBron and Goyan Dabia are on court, because the pairs are just so much more similar. You have a defensive powerhouse in Dineno and Chingo, and two very attacking, point-generating and winner-generating backhands in Lebron and Galan. So hopefully we can watch it. I think we will. I'd be surprised if they don't make, they both make the semifinals. And what I'm also quite excited about, Gons, is a different matchup, but you can go back to talking about Lebron, Dineno and Chingalan in a sec. But it's Yanguas and Stupa are in the same bracket as Cardona Navarro.
Yeah.
And we always said that we wanted to watch that match because we want to, well, Cardona and Navarro have been impressive as a pair, I think. And they've challenged some of the top pairs in matches so far. I mean, Chingalan struggled to beat them throughout the last tournament in Valladolid. So I genuinely think that Navarro and Cardona could knock out Stupa and Yanguas. And if they do, whew, that could be maybe the nail in the coffin for Stupa and Yanguas as a pair.
Yeah, I mean, just on that, I think it's an incredibly exciting matchup. As you say, I think potentially when we first heard about these pairs or when they first formed, we kind of thought maybe Paquito and Cardona were a bit behind them. But honestly, I think what we've seen so far, they're probably at the same level. And I think it's going to be a really interesting match. Actually, Stupa quite recently gave an interview to Analista Spadol and kind of talked about his transition to playing with someone like Dineno and someone with Yanguas, and said that he felt like Dineno was obviously really good defensively and kind of gave him that stability. And Yanguas, according to Stupa, has incredible quality in his shots, but he's probably not as solid as Martin Dineno. And I think what we've seen of Stupa as of late in terms of him being or trying to be really, really offensive, probably even more than he has been in the past, he probably does need someone that's a bit more solid. And I wonder if Yanguas is kind of that player that Stupa needs and probably isn't. Probably we'll see how it goes. Also, it's going to be quite interesting because we do know that Stupa was also talking to Cardona before joining or pairing with Yanguas. So if Cardona plays, let's say, insanely well, Paquito and Cardona win, is Stupa going to be like, oh, damn, I should have gone with Cardona instead of Yanguas. Cardona should have been my first choice. So, yeah, really interesting. As you say, I think it's definitely closer than people might think. And to be honest with you, if I would make a prediction in terms of how we're seeing them and the form, I'd kind of edge it towards Cardona and Paquito. I also do think that Paquito is still going underrated in terms of the year that he's had. I think individually, he's actually been playing quite well. Mm. He obviously has had games where it's not his level, but I generally do think that he's still a top backhand player. And I think individually, he's probably had a better year than Stupa. So it's going to be quite interesting to see them. Hopefully, we do get to see that matchup. And then maybe just going back to Lebron and Dineno and Galan. And Chingo, as you said, I think the matchup much better for Lebron and Dineno. At the end of the day, it does seem like they're both very, very similar pairs, to be honest. So I think as long as you have a sort of Lebron that's not going too crazy, and then Dineno kind of stepping up his game a little bit more and equaling out Chingo, then you could see it could be a good matchup, and Lebron and Dineno can have their chances. We'll also see how this is going to go from a mental standpoint. I think last time they played each other, Lebron and Galan, now I'm talking about, Galan didn't start too well, and Lebron had an amazing match throughout, to be honest. But then Galan did end up playing a lot better towards the end of the match, and they obviously did end up winning it. But we've heard the beef that they've had recently. I wonder how this is going to be reflected on court and if they're going to have any struggles. Obviously, Ching Galan have also not been playing that well. They do come back of a great final in my eyes and definitely much improved, and we needed to see that. So hopefully they do carry on this momentum. But I don't think it's just going to be super straightforward match because it'll also be the first time that they play against each other. So it's going to be quite interesting as well. I think they're probably maybe have to adjust a little bit to their playing style. So yeah, I can't, I mean, hopefully we do get to see it, as you say. I mean, it'd be a shame, right? We finally get the draw that we wanted and then we don't get to see it. It would be a massive shame. But I mean, as we've also talked about this, I mean, I think these pairs are kind of like a level above the rest. So I'd be really surprised if we don't get to see them.
Definitely. I mean, I think looking at the draw, they both should be making the semifinals. I think when you look at Leverón and Dineno, they have a relatively easy draw. They would face probably Momo González and Edu Alonso in the quarterfinals, who have been good and consistent. But, I mean, Leverón and Dineno put them away in two sets in Valladolid. From Chingalán's side, they would have to probably face, I think, maybe Bergamín y Garrido, which is a partnership that we haven't talked about a lot, but I think it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Bergamín just being a defensive monster and Garrido putting away the points that Bergamín generates, given how good he is kind of on the ball and tactically. So I think that would probably be, yeah, it would probably be Bergamín y Garrido against Chingalán, and I'd be surprised if Bergamín y Garrido in their first match together managed to knock out Chingalán. Now, one last question I would like to ask you, Gons, because I think it's probably coming up to the end of the episode, and, well, short and snappy always is best. Are you still, given the draw, are you still backing Chingalán to win in Paris? Because they actually obviously have a tougher draw than Coyo and Dabia, given that Leverón y Dineno, who are the real contenders against the top two, are on their side of the draw. Do you still think they will be crowned in Paris?
Yeah, I still think they will. I was really encouraged by what I saw at the final. I think that's kind of what they needed. I think they needed a game, even though they did lose, but they were super competitive. Could have gone either way. They ended up taking it to three sets. We saw a Galán that was the kind of Galán that we've seen all year. And Chingo, probably a Chingo that was really good offensively and throughout the match seemed amazing, but for some reason seemed like he had a crazy amount of unforced errors, which is not like him. So I kind of see him going back to being him. And even though they do have a hard draw, I mean, let's not slip as well on Coyan Tapia's draw because, you know, you could have a Coqui and John, which, I mean, you know, they could put you in trouble here and there. You also have, Chotas and Asburger, potentially, they could be up there as well. So, I mean, I do think that once they get to the semifinals, I definitely see them kind of beating, let's say, Yanguas and Stupa or Cardona and Navarro. But I think that if Chingalán make it to the final, I would be quite confident on them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point you make about Coyo and Dabia. I think they do have quite a tough draw because Chozas and Asburger have been playing really well. And Coqui and John are always that X factor that, given that they're still quite low seeded, I mean, they should really be seeded much higher.
Yeah.
And what that means is that they you can encounter them in the quarterfinals or even the round of 16, sorry, which is a really tough matchup. So they do have a tough matchup. But what all I was really referencing before is I do think that Chingalán and Dineno Leverón have favorable draws. So hopefully watch that match. And yeah, I can't wait to get started. And personally, I still think Coyo and Dabia will win, as I shared not long ago. And I genuinely have my doubts as whether it will be Leverón y Dineno who finally make that push. It always seems like towards the end of the season, something big happens. Mm. And we've watched the same final so many times that it just feels like an upset, a big upset with the top pairs has to happen at some point. It's always happened throughout probably the last 5-6 seasons. So
yeah.
Could it be this week?
That's true. I do think that potentially, given that we've got the World Cup, and I think that's also such an important event for the players, I think all the top players are so motivated and they kind of still feel in the season. I wouldn't be surprised that, say, if Coyo Tapia win this tournament and then you have the World Cup. And then after the World Cup, it's kind of like probably, you know, maybe Chingo Don Galán are thinking like, okay, to be honest, the season's kind of over. And then you do have kind of those weird like slip ups and other players like take their chance and stuff. So, but I think for now, given that this also is a Paris major, really important, I think they kind of still, I think Chingalán still feel like, okay, we do have a chance and we have to take it now. So yeah, that's why I'm going for them.
Yeah. Although I think if Chingalán don't take it, as I've shared previously, I think if Coyo and Dabia win again, the race is pretty over.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Well, probably time to say goodbye, Gons. What do you think?
Yeah. I do hope that everyone's enjoyed the episode. Please do leave us your predictions of the upcoming French Open. And if you also want to take a stab at thinking or what would you pair up in Spain, because I think that's going to be really interesting what we see in terms of the Spanish lineup. So if you do want to take a chance of that as well, we'd love to see it in the comments. But yeah, as always, it's been a pleasure, Hugo. And I do hope that everyone enjoyed. Please do follow us on TikTok as well. Maybe we should have said it at the beginning of the video. Next time we will. But yeah, we'll catch you next time.
Yeah, guys, have a great week. And share your prediction also on the outcome for the Paris Major, because I think this is key for the season. So it'd be great to hear your thoughts. Have a great week and catch you soon.